All right, our message... Whoa, what's happening here? We've gone too far already. It's called Continuing in Faith. And it's not an example of faith, but I think the author in Hebrews changes from showing examples to letting people know that it just doesn't end with these few individuals that have been presented. That it continues on and on and on, regardless of what is happening around us. And so the message today is really just about continuing in faith. And I want to kind of make that, we're going to look at a timeline, we're going to show more scripture, a little bit more New Testament scripture today. And I think it's all New Testament. Oh, wow, look at that. Yeah, so let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father Almighty, I do thank you for your presence here, and I thank you for your Spirit that continually guides us in all that we do. I thank you for your Word that we can read anytime that we want to in this time and frame. We can worship whenever we want to, and I thank you for that. So, Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us in this message, that you reveal to us what each individual needs to be revealed, that it be, I guess, influential, like those grandparents that we were talking about, but eternally influential, that it is now a dire importance of the things that we're learning because of these times that Barb is talking about. We really need to know you, Lord. We need to lean on you. And I just thank you for your many blessings that come from hearing your word. And this is my prayer through your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's go to our first scripture reading. It's going to be Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 38. These verses, it's kind of funny. To begin with, it sounds good. But at the end of these verses, it's almost like, why would I want to be a Christian? Let's just listen to it and think about this here. Beginning at verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, this is the type of Christian walk that I want to have. But it goes on a little bit more. It says, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Now, which half of that set of scripture would you like to enjoy? And I'm thinking, wow, you know, we go from all these examples of life, or continuing of in the faith, and then we get the scripture here, where it's almost like, that might be more than I can bear. That might not be what I signed up for when I became a Christian. I want you to know that the faith that we receive from God is not something that just kind of comes and goes. It's always there and always has been. Sometimes we don't latch on to it. There's times in our walk, or even in our nation's walks, or the worldly kingdoms that have been and gone and stuff, there's times where the Israelites followed God, and there's times that they didn't follow God. If we look at this little simple timeline that I have here, down at the very bottom is like year one, if we can call it that, right? The beginning of creation. And you get all the way to the very top, that's the birth of Christ. And it's not that we're looking in there. You can see the flood, you can see the Abraham's call, Exodus, all in the timeline that's there. My point is this. 4,000 years passed from creation, according to Scripture, until the time of Christ. 4,000 years. I think that's kind of hard for us to comprehend. And yet, in that time, God never disappeared. Not once. Not once in that time did God ever break His covenant with man. Now man, on the other hand, didn't really keep his covenant with God. But can you imagine a God that stood by this world and everything on it for 4,000 years straight? Now, we're 2,000 years beyond that. And God is still here. That even though we are just a little blip in the timeline that you can see right there, and then the 2,000 years that would go beyond that, God still continues to be. And God always will continue to be. And when we look at this scripture that the Hebrews were talking about, these different individuals that we've talked over the last 8 Sundays and stuff, they begin at the beginning of creation. And those individuals are peppered all the way through, really to the coming of Christ. And the author of Hebrews is reminding these individuals that are wavering a bit on their Christianity, whether they should stay there or not, is saying that God has been with the Israelite nation for 4,000 years plus. Why do you think He would give up on you now? Don't give up on God. Continue in your faith with Him, regardless of what's going around you, because even if we die today, God still continues tomorrow. And I think that, to me, that gives me encouragement to realize that, you know, when we have these false idols that we might worship and stuff, you know, when those idols are cast down and they're broken all up, and they're, over time they're just forgotten. Right? But God is never, never, ever broken down. God is never, ever forgotten. He is always there. So if we look at this, I want to look at this here in terms of the nations that attacked God's people, because we become attacked, right? So let's look at some of this, the realm that we looked at. And remember the people that were spoken about when we look at this here, the Gideon. It was the Midianites that was attacking the Israelites at that time. And Gideon was raised to power and have some strength from God to be able to protect the Israelites and release them of the bondage that was there from the Midianites. And when it was Barak, it was the Canaanites that was oppressing the Israelites. When it was Samson, it was the Philistines that was oppressing them. When it was Japheth, it was the Amorites that were oppressing them. David, it was the Philistines again that was there. Samuel, it was the Israelites themselves that he was battling in through this. So you can see the different nations that came in and that Israelite was battling time and over again. And if one nation went down that was battling Israel, there was another one that seemed to spring up and would just attack them over and over again. But it doesn't end there. That's just what Hebrews talks about. And let's look at some of the other ones. The Assyrians, you know, they were the ones that took over the northern tribe, the house of Israel. We look at the Egyptians. We look at the Persians, the Romans, the Babylonians, the Amalekites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Sabaeans, the Moabites, the Armenians, and the Hegites. All these ites and other people there that are always in there. You know, the whole scripture is just filled with one battle after another from one nation trying to attack the Israelite nation. And it's like, why do they just keep coming? Why can't God just remove those other people and then we just have peace? You know what God tells us to do? Have faith. The Israelite nations through these thousands of years struggled from one nation after another nation, and it was always a conflict. They never seemed to be able to get away from them. There was times that there was peace around the Israelite nation. And I'll tell you, the only time that there was peace around the Israelite nation is when the Israelite nation was truly serving God. And you can look at that in Scripture and see that over and over and over again. The other nations came in when the Israelites were just pushing God away. And they didn't want to serve Him truthfully, and they didn't want to serve Him from the heart. They wanted more just for themselves. So, sometimes I feel like, again, I said this before, that the Israelite nation tends to be a little bit like us, where they are being battled by the outside forces, right, that want to come in to us. Well, we're battled by forces even today. We may not be fighting big nations like how Israel was fighting and stuff. And we can say, yeah, well, there's China and there's Russia and there's, you know, all the Middle Eastern nations and stuff like that we're having constant battles with and everything. But we're not having those types of battles on our own soil. We can walk around peacefully. We're not in war-torn zones like where Israel was put in bondage like that. Oh, the Jebusites. I forgot about those guys. All right. So let's look at this Romans chapter 7, 21, because I kind of feel like inside us there's war that's raging from time to time. And that there's internal conflicts that are going on from time to time. And we seem to be bombarded by things of the world from time to time. Just as the Israelites nation was bombarded by exterior nations coming and trying to come into them. Romans 7, 21, 25, Paul speaks and says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." My members being my hands, my eyes, my ears, right? My mouth. "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Can you imagine like how many times the Israelite nation has called out, "God, save us from these other nations." Paul saying, "God, save me from myself." And then he has this line right here and he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Because Jesus is our Savior. End of story. We only have one Savior, and it's Jesus Christ. So if you're trying to find salvation other ways, that battle that goes on inside you is going to rage and rage even more. It's going to pop up more often, and as it pops up, it's going to be stronger in force. Unless you have God. Not just out there, knowing He might be up way in the heavens someplace, looking down, but He's living in your heart. How close can that be, right? He knows us a little better than we even know ourselves. But you know those things that rage inside of us that Paul talks about, you know? It's that sin that attacks God's people. Not so much remember that God always said, you know, separate yourself from those other nations because they're sinful nations, right? Those nations, we talked about this last week. Why was it that the Israelites were able to go into the land of Canaan and take over all that land? Not because of their righteousness, but because of judgment on those individuals living in that land. They were evil. And God was putting judgment on them using the Israelites. So, let's look at that sin that might attack us. Now, you saw the list that we had of those different nations that were there. I didn't even count how many were there, but maybe they were like, say, 12, 15 nations. How many sins can there be, right? How about adultery that tempts us? Anger. How about bitterness? Now, notice I'm going in alphabetical order. I'm only in the B's right now. All right? Blasphemy. Boasting. Busybodies. Cheating. Being contemptuous. Coveting. Being deceitful. Despising others. Double-minded. Dishonesty. Okay, there's the first column. Disobeying. Drunkenness. Envy. False witness. Fornication. Greed. Gossip. Hate. Hypocrisy. Homosexuality. Hoarding. Idolatry. Jealousy. There's two columns, and I'm only in the J's. Being lazy, loving money, loving evil. And I was thinking about that one, loving evil. That's always, you know, if you watch the news, you know, that's really what you're seeing over and over and again. And sometimes you just want to see more of what's bad out there. Lust, lying, malice, murder, pride, quarreling, self-serving, slander, sorcery, stealing, unbelief, unmerciful, unrighteousness, unthankful. Oops, that must be the list that I've got right there. And really, folks, I could have gone on and on. But this is the battle that we fight sometimes. And we try to do it on our own in the sense, well, I can handle this one, I can handle that one. Next thing you know, you're being bombarded by 5, 6 of these sins that are being tempted by, and all of a sudden we can't handle it. And what do? Sometimes we just give up and we say, I'm done. I can't handle this. It's too much of a fight. But you know what I want to say to you? Just like Paul, he has that internal fight, oh, what a wretched man I am. So thankfully, he has Christ. So who fights the battle for you? But Christ does. If we have faith that He can conquer the world, right, the sins that are in the world, then He's already conquered those things that are on that screen right now. But I still have trouble with it. Granted, God's going to be working on you and putting on your heart that you need to let go of some of these things in faith. And I was just telling Hope, I had a funny dream this morning. It was like, I was at school and I was kind of joking around that I don't wear jewelry and everything. And because it was like this, it was really kind of funny in a way. And I was almost like, this should be a whole sermon in itself. But I was like, with these four people, and they said they had found this ring. And I said, well, it's not mine. I don't wear rings, you know. And it's like, I looked down at my hand, and it's like, there's two rings on there. I'm like, where did they come from? I'm like, oh, that's funny. It's like, where's the... Oh, I said, oh, it's my wedding band. I do wear a ring and stuff like that. I do wear jewelry and stuff. But there was another ring on there that I had placed on. I was just fidgeting it around, and I'd put something on like that. And we were kind of like joking, but I said, it's only those two rings. And I looked over my hand, and it's like, wait, there's like three more on this side over here. And I'm like, wait, what? And it's like, I remember as I looked at those rings, it's like, how, when I put those on. But I had no recollection at the time that I had actually put those rings on. And so I'm putting these rings on, you know, I had put these rings on there and everything. And then I look back over here and there's more rings on this side. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's like that, you know. And I was like, I guess I do wear jewelry. And it's like, it was so funny in the sense of it, you know, looking at it today. It's like, I don't sin. Oh, wait, there's one sin that I have on my ring, you know, on my finger. There is one sin on there. And someone said, well, you dropped one over here. This is another, you know, sin that you had. And it's like, no, I don't sin like that. Oh, wait, I got more sin on my hands. You see what I mean? And then all of a sudden, when you start recognizing, you know, that God puts it on your heart, that that is a sin, that is a sin, that is a sin. Next thing you know, you're wearing jewelry all over your body because it's like, oh, I guess I do wear jewelry. I guess I do sin. And we were joking about it in the dream and everything. It was kind of funny and everything. But I got to thinking afterwards, right after I woke up, it's like, isn't that what sin is, though, in a way? We wear it, and we don't even realize we're wearing it until God puts it on our heart. You got something to clean up. And we have a lifetime in which to do that. Now, there's going to come a time when we're raised to God and there's all those rings of sin and everything, they're gone completely. God has paid the price for our sins. I understand that. But He wants us to live a holy life. And I'm telling you right now, everyone in this room and everyone that hears this, all the Zoom people and everything, there are things in your life that you have to work on, that God wants you to work on. And He's telling you this because He loves you. He doesn't want you to fall. He's doing it because of His great love for you and me. So we have Scripture that helps us during those times where we start to recognize some of the sin that's inside of us. I want to show you what some of that Scripture is. In Thessalonians chapter, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:3, He says, but the Lord is faithful. Remember, He's been faithful all these 6,000 years that this world's been in existence. And He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Do you have faith that He will do that? Regardless of the situation that's there. How come they've got it so easy, God, and I've got this? This stuff is around me all the time. He can protect you. Because He is faithful. Scripture says it, and I believe that. Right? I put faith in that. And I know, even in myself, I'm going to go through some tough times, probably in the future, whatever it is. Regardless of that, I'm still trusting in God. I know there's going to be hard times, potentially. And, you know, something, who knows what can happen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3-6, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. All right, so we're Christians, we're set apart, we can't act like the world, I understand that, we're aliens in this world, our home is with God. But God, or Scripture saying here, is that we're not to retaliate the way the world retaliates. That if someone harms us, the world will say, well, I need to harm them back more. Well, let's see what God says. He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the kingdom or the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wow. If you want to conquer the sins of this world, the sins around you, then you let every thought that you have be Christ-like. You think that's impossible? I say it's not. You can. But you have to discipline yourself. Right? He says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You see, we don't fight the way the world fights. We don't try to get better the way the world gets better. The only way that we can be made holy is through the righteousness of Christ. And we need to have a heart and a mind of Christ. Just as simply as that. And sometimes I wonder in myself that, you know, if I'm starting to battle these tough thoughts, even like what Mary Beth was saying and stuff like that, it's like, you know, I've been having these bad thoughts, and it's like, why am I having these bad thoughts? It's because I'm not thinking Christ-like. I'm thinking the way the world is thinking. And I need to step back and either get in the Word or get in prayer with God, get in communion with God, and listen to Him. Because if we're listening to the world, if we're listening to the self-get-help books and stuff like that, you're always going to have those battles. But God is faithful to us. And if we really believe that, then we can have faith in God for our internal struggles that we have, those things that battle us. Sometimes all the time, and there's times where, you know, we don't seem to struggle so much with sin. And there's other times that we do. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 12, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." You see, we are to be a witness to those around us. Plain and simple. And do you know what this is saying right here? Where it says, though they accuse you of doing wrong. Let's go back to that book of Hebrews. What did some of those believers go through? Being sawn in half? All right, killed, put in prison, not because of the things they've done, but because of what they believe. Are you willing to go to that point with your belief? That regardless of what the world is going on around me, my faith in God is not going to change other than getting stronger. Though the world may come in and take all of my possessions, though the world may come in and take my family, though the world may come in and take all of my property, my faith in God will remain because these things of the world are temporary. My life with God is eternal. And yet we want to hang on to those things. Because we think our value sometimes is with, you know, how big our house is or the nice car that we have. But what Scripture is saying, what's important, is your faith and your walk with God. And you may die for that. You may be harmed because of that. You may be rejected because of that. And yet God wants us in those times to be a witness to those that are hurting us to see God. Well, now we need faith to be able to go through those times. We need to have that, those struggles and stuff. And even in the book of Hebrews here, it talks about those believers. And it says here in Hebrews 12:4, he says, "In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." You see, when we're wavering and struggling with God, It's like Vern always said. I remember that when I first started coming here. You have one foot in the world and you have one foot in God. And what this scripture is saying right here, you don't have both feet in God. But you haven't been willing to give up those things that are worldly things and just put your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength into the hands of God. Trust Him with all the faith that you have been given. That it will cost us blood sometimes. It may cost us our lives. So what? That just means we're going to be with God all the sooner. And because of that, because of our actions and the going through that and still persevering in our faith in God, someone here on this world will see that and turn towards Jesus. Saved an individual. You might even save two individuals. But why stop there? You might save your family as individuals. Because of the example that you've set. Paul speaks himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27. No, he says, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Can you imagine being Paul? It's like, hey, look what I just did. You know, brought someone back to life. Healed that blind person. I just got all these converts, you know, from all this idolatry into believing in Jesus Christ. Just, aren't I pretty good? Can you imagine the pride that might come up because of in Paul's heart with all the good that he's doing? And yet he beats himself to keep him just himself to be a servant of God and not let sin encroach in his life. Disciplining. And not just letting someone's praise and wonders and everything, the things that you're able to do and help out and stuff, you know, puff you up. Now, it's okay to feel good about that because you are doing good works. But don't let that be why you do things. Because now all of a sudden it's no longer serving God, but it's serving you. And God will show you that's one of those sin rings that's going on. And He'll point that stuff out pretty soon here. So in Hebrews again, it talks about remembering. Hebrews 13, 7 through 8 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, we may not have known Abraham. We may not have known Enoch and Noah and all those great, you know, forefathers of the Israelite nation and stuff. But my guess is that you know somebody. Maybe it's a mother or a father. Maybe it's an aunt. Maybe it's someone that that you have at work that is a devout Christian. That for some reason has been able to touch your life in a way that nobody else has because of their example. Of living in the same time frame, the same, you know, situation as you might be living. And yet, how is it that when they go to work, they can have peace every day when they've got all this turmoil around them? That makes no sense. But you're watching them, you're seeing them, you're talking to them. And then you're going to ask them, how do you do it? And you know what they're going to say? It's not me. It's Christ in me that allows me to be that way. And you're going to say, well, I want that. What do I have to do? Well, know God. To seek Him and His commands and seek His love and seek to find out what He is. I always pray that when we do Bible study, God, reveal yourself, your character to us so that we can see you and understand you better. Then we can reflect that to you. Regardless of the disease that we have, regardless of the financial struggles that we're having right now, regardless of the people problems that just seem to be meddling in our minds all the time. You see, we can have that peace that Christ has. We can have the same spirit of going to the cross as Jesus. Can't take his place. He took our place there. But when we have that, it becomes all of a sudden, it's Christ now in us that's acting. It's Christ now in us that's our thoughts. It's Christ now in us so that our words are coming out and all that that's around us. But it takes discipline to be able to do that. Well, how do we do that? Like Barb said, shut the TV off for a while. Open up your Bible. You know, when you're going down the road, listen to some good, solid Christian music. And it's not the music, the notes and stuff that make it. It's the words that mean something, right? That's what's important when you're being able to go through that. So let's look in Revelation chapter 1:8. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. God always has been and always will be." You want something that's solid? Look to God. You want something that's temporary? Look to the world. You choose what you want. You want eternal life with God? Or do you want eternal hell? Those are the two options. People say, "Oh no, there's not really, those aren't the two options." I'm telling you right now, that's what it is. You decide what you want. So I've got a scripture verse here in Isaiah talking to the people. And I think it's pretty powerful in terms of what we're looking at right now, in terms of continuing our faith, regardless of the struggles that go around us. In Isaiah 45, verses 21 through 25, it says, "Declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together, who foretold this long ago, who declared it from the distant past. Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me." Do you believe that? I'm asking you, do you believe that? Okay, the people on Zoom need to hear that. Yes, they do. Yeah, we do. Now, let's read on and see what it says in the next verse. "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow. By me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exult." Those are powerful words. Hold those words when you've got struggles. Why? They're God's words. They're what he has to say to those people that are struggling out there. They're choosing not to serve him because their time will come to an end. But when you serve God, the only God that there is salvation. And there's life eternal with him. And you're going to say, "But why is there this in this world? Why is there this in this world?" Well, you know what? It goes back to what Sherry Teeble always says. You get to choose who you serve. You can serve mammon or you can serve God. We can really only serve one master. Who is it for you? God. Amen. So no matter what's happening around us, we continue to serve God wholeheartedly with a holy life. Why? Because we beat ourselves to submission to serve God. That when we get those bad thoughts, we ask God, remove that from us. Then we start putting our hand over in that one spot. God, slap my hand. That it doesn't go any farther and it comes right back. And our eyes start to wander. God, remove me from that. Or when our mouths start to utter those things that we oughtn't be uttering, God, shut my mouth. Continue to have faith that He will direct us and guide us in these times so that we can be that witness to someone. Let's look at the end results of some of the struggles we might have. This is the last verse I have, Revelation 21, 6 and 7. He says, He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Daughter, my child, is what he's saying. We have a job to do in this world. Our salvation is guaranteed. We're Christians, I believe that. But there's so many out there that don't know that, that our faith needs to be a witness to those around us. We might need to bite our tongue. Close our eyes. We might have to give up some of the things that we have. Share them. As Christ has shared everything with us. We might even have to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. We need to continue in faith. From this time until eternity. Amen. God Almighty, I just thank you for your word here today. Thank you for this time that we have to be able to maybe look a little closer within ourselves. Not so much pat ourselves on the back for being a good Christian. Pat ourselves on the back for being a believer. But we still have a lot of work to do. It never ends. Father, continue pouring out your faith. Because it's only in faith that we can please you. I thank you for your word and for this time. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.